some good deep conversation going on there. So we've all benefit from community, which is good. I bumped into Marion this morning. Some of you would have seen Marion came in and came out. She just wanted to continue to ask that we'd be continue to pray for Lee. Lee's doing well. He had to go have a little back to hospital, but it turns out it may have just been something like indigestion. So his heart recovery is going well, but I guess it's just another a little trial on their journey together. So yeah, so we keep praying for them. That would be great. You know, as I was thinking about that Lee there with that trial of his heart at the moment, we all go through trials through our life. We all face troubles through our life, and for some of us it is a health issue like Lee. For some of us it is relational issues. For others of us amongst us, it can be pressures at work. It can be problems around our employment. It can be a lack of work. It can be lots of things that come across our trials. In fact, there's one thing for sure: if you're living and you're breathing, you're going to have trials in your life. The scriptures tell us that as a believer, that does not exclude us from trials in life. In fact, it probably ups our level of trials coming our way. See, it suggests that just because we are in Christ doesn't mean we are excluded from trials and tribulations. Phil Pringle talks about trials and tribulations and trials. He suggests that they can be broken down into three things. They can be broken down into issues that come our way that we've caused. And I think we've all been involved in doing stuff that's caused issues in our life, and we thought, gee, I probably could have done that differently and I would have saved myself a lot of problems and a lot of troubles. There's another category of issues and troubles and trials that we have, and they're caused by other people that have done stuff to us or done things that have caused the situation that we dwell in to be quite difficult. And they can be hard and they can be troublesome. And then there's the third category, and that is just some things just happen. We live in a world where trials happen and things happen and go wrong, and they cause trials for us in the places where we live. And so you can pretty much categorize all your trials and all your troubles into one of those three categories. Did I cause it? Did someone else cause it? Or was it just one of those things? And if you're thinking about the trials that you're facing at the moment or that you've been facing of recent, maybe you can put that into a category, if that's helpful. One thing I know about trials is I don't like them. So I would rather plain sailing. I'm a smooth sailing human being. I do much better when the wind is behind me and I've got the spinnaker up and I'm going downwind. I am fantastic. I'm not sure if it's my blokiness, but I reserve the right to whinge like anything when things are going really badly. Maybe you're like that, but I assume you're not. But James talks about trials in a different way. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind. Consider it pure joy when you suffer trials of many kind. Now, I know for a few of us, you're in the middle of trials right at the moment. And I wouldn't suggest that we're saying, hey, just put a smiley face on. That's not what James is talking about here. I don't know if James is a sucker for punishment or he likes it, but that's what he says. He says, consider it pure joy. So I'm going to read a bit from James chapter 1. It says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after the desire is convinced, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Just want to run over that number 12 again. Be blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. He started by saying trials come to all of us. Trials and issues and problems come across all of our paths. In fact, it's like tax. It's something that's going to be a part of your life. You're going to have trials. I love this scripture because blessed is the one who perseveres. When does trial get on top of us? When we give up and we turn away and we say, it's all too much and my faith in God is not worth it. I'm walking away. That's when trials win. It says, blessed are those who persevere under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. See, walking with Jesus is about walking with him and having him involved in those issues and those trials. See, God walks in the mud with us. God walks in the trenches with us. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Even sometimes when we feel like he is not with us, even though we sometimes feel like we're in a desert period, the truth of the scripture is that God never leaves us. God is always there with us. God walks the road with us. And so we need to be people who are persevering through trial, who hold on to him through trial, because he's the one thing that doesn't rain. He is the rock, he is the refuge, and he's the person to hang on to. So I want to encourage us today. We're going to look at David again today. We looked at David a couple of weeks ago. I want to look at David in a different light today, in one of his higher moments. I think 2 weeks ago we looked at David in one of his lower moments. We're going to look at David in one of his higher moments today. But you know, one of the things I want us to frame is that through our trials, we don't run away from trials. You know, God calls us to front our trials, to front our issues, to front the problems that we are confronted with in life. When we run away from them, when we turn our back, when we try and get away from them, we don't succeed. But when we face the troubles with God by our side, with God, with the Holy Spirit implanted in us, we have victory no matter what the outcome looks like on the outside. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel. It's a story that you guys will all know, and I have actually shared a bit of on here in the congregation here before. It's the story of David and Goliath. It's 1 Samuel chapter 16. If you want to roll your Bible over there, it's in the Old Testament. Page 287 for those using the same Bible as me. By the look of it, no one is. So it's a unique one of a kind. Last on the shelf. You know, we're going to look at this today because, again, as I said, we all have trials. But, you know, the way that we stand up to trials is the way that we grow in our faith. It's the way that we are expanded by God. It's the way that we are authentic in our faith. It's the way that we lead others in authenticity in our faith. And so in this story we're going to look at today, you guys who have been around the Bible a little bit will know that it's the story of David and Goliath. Goliath is the large warrior of the enemy, and it is standing in front of the Israelite army, and David is about to take him on and defeat him. And before we get to that, we find in chapter 16, David is anointed by God. And so what happens is that... The person comes to anoint one of Jesse's sons, and he's looking around for which son to anoint. David is the runt of the family. In fact, David is out tending the sheep, and so his dad even forgets about him, and he forgets that he is around. He says, is there any other sons that you have, Jesse? And Jesse's like, there is one more. Got so many that I can't remember them. If you're a dad and you've tried to run through your kids' names, you understand that I only have three and I get them wrong. But Jesse obviously forgot David, but he says this in verse number 11. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Oh, they're still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and he had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And then Samuel then went on to Ramah. You know, we see this blessed thing. We read this story and we see that David was anointed by God, that God had appointed him for such a time as this, and he had anointed him. Do you know that God has appointed and anointed you as well? You know that Jesus chose you. When God chose you, when Jesus died on the cross, God chose you. and me and all of us that are living. We confirm that choosing when we understand that God actually invites us into relationship with Him through the Son Jesus. We accept that appointment when that happens. And so when we ask Jesus into our life, the scriptures tell us in Acts that the Holy Spirit then comes into us and dwells within us. It anoints us. So the Holy Spirit, if we find in Acts chapter 2:38, is in you. If you've accepted Jesus into your life today, you have been appointed and you have been anointed for the life that you are to live. Just the same as David. Now, we don't live in the Old Testament times where a prophet Samuel comes along with a big horn full of oil and pours it over the top of him. The idea of what was happening here is they poured it over the top of him and it came down all over them and it would drip all along the floor, and that was to show who was anointed. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we're living today and not in those days, because I don't think I need oil dripping all around me, especially when it's 33 degrees outside. I think it's like a 1977 coconut oil bath before you go out in the sun. It would burn. So we are anointed, though. Let's not forget that we are anointed by God. Acts 2:38 tells us that when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells within us. That means you are anointed and you are appointed for the life that you are living. So when we read about David, David is just like you and like me. A young man who's been chosen by God, who's been anointed by God for the things that are come in front of him. Each one of us has been appointed. We can forget that sometimes. We're in the bottom and the depths. We can think, you know, I'm just me. Well, guess what? That's all you need to be, is just you. We're going to read on. So David gets anointed. David goes into Saul's service. He starts to play the harp, which I believe was quite a big instrument in those days. Not sure if it was electric or whether it was acoustic, but he played the harp. And we get to number 17, chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socoh in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Socoh and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. Verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. It's about 58 kilograms for those who are wondering. That's pretty heavy. If you've done some hiking and you've carried a pack, as I know some of you have recently, 58 kilos is reasonable heaviness. On his legs he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servant of Saul? Choose a man and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistines said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Brave guys, this is the army. They were terrified. And so we pick up this story, you're just reading it in the follow there. There's a couple of hillsides, there's a valley in the middle. Goliath, the enemy's large problem, the issue, he was the warrior, he's down in the bottom calling them out, saying, "Hey, bring out your best." Except no one wants to go and fight him. Everyone's terrified by this trial that is in front of them. Everyone's terrified by the issue that is in front of them, and that is Goliath. No one will go out and fight him. Sometimes we can become paralyzed with the issues that come our way. Again, we're talking about things of health in our life. We're talking about things of employment. We're talking about things of relationships. We're talking about things that, natural everyday things that come up in our life. And sometimes they can grow and be like Goliaths in our life. And sometimes they don't talk to us, but they can taunt us and talk to us like, "What are you going to do now? Where's your God now? How are you going to move forward?" And we sometimes can be caught, like the Israelites, standing on a hill looking, going, "I'm not sure how to overcome. I'm not sure what to do. I'm paralyzed with this issue." Now, David was the son of Ephonite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old. Jesse's 3 older sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers here are and bring back some assurance for them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. So David's brothers, they're out there. They're some of the soldiers that are up on the hill. David's dad Jesse saying, take some supplies to them. You'd like to be the captain. He got sent some cheeses. Who knows what they are, but you'd hope they were nice cheeses, maybe some soft ones. Very nicely done. So he goes out there. When he gets out there, he comes across the situation. He sees what's happening. He sees, hang on a second, here's my brother in the Israelite armies, and there's this issue in front of them called Goliath. There's this trial in front of them called Goliath, and these guys are stuck. It's okay to be stuck. These guys were stuck. We can't see past this. The issue had become so big that we actually can't see around it. It was consuming their life. It was consuming them. And that can happen sometimes with the issues in our life. They can consume us. And it doesn't matter whether everyone else thinks that issue in your life is only small and you should just get over it, or whether everyone else thinks it's massive and doesn't know how you're dealing with it. It's the perception of that issue in your life. And lots of different issues can become Goliaths in our life. And so David comes in and he says, you know what, King, I'd like to have a shot at this. I can do this. And King Saul is like, who are you? What's going on? His brothers are mooring. They're like, you only come down here to get yourself involved. Get out, you little runt. Get away. But David says something very interesting in verse 32 through to 37. He says this. Verse 29, this is what he says to his brother. Now what have I done? Said David, can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul and sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, I struck it, and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. I love that last verse. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. This is the start of where it starts to turn. This is where David starts to go, you know what, this issue doesn't need to hold me back from God. This issue doesn't need to tie me down. And the way it happens is he starts to remember what God has done for him in the past. Now, if you've been walking with God for a while, you'll hopefully have a longer line than someone who's been walking with God for a little while. But what David does here, which is really interesting, he starts to think about, when has God helped me in the past? When I have been in trouble in the past? When I have had a trial in my life in the past? When something has been against me in the past? What has happened? And so he goes back along his line. He's kind of standing here. This is a timeline. He's standing here, and there's Goliath, and he starts to look back. And he goes, hang on a second. When I was back here and I was just a little boy and I was fighting, a lion was here, a lion. And what happened then was that God was with me and God helped me overcome the lion. And then when I was here, a bit later on in my life, I was tending the sheep again and I was fighting the sheep. I was hanging out with them, my friends. The bear came. The bear, and the bears are pretty ferocious. If you've watched any adventure shows on the Discovery Channel, they can do some damage. The bear came, but what happened? God was with him and he was able to overcome the bear. So, you know, if you overcome a lion, it gives you a bit of confidence, huh? Get a bit like, yeah, I've seen a lion, I've seen the problems. It's not easy. I don't think he was saying, oh, the lion was a pinch of salt. It was easy, it was nothing. He said, I overcame the lion. The bear, it wasn't saying the bear was easy, but he overcame it with God. So now he stands here in the front of Goliath. He's saying, actually, I don't know that, in the physical, I don't know that I can get through this. This is a tough situation. a lot of good people not being able to get through that. But you know what? As I look back, I'm going to garner encouragement and strength from where God has got me through these other issues. And so I stand here now looking at this issue thinking, God has got me through everything else. See, when you can put your trust in that God has got you through other things, that makes it easier to hang on to. Like James said, perseverance. It makes it easier to hang on to something when you've seen his faithfulness in your life through other trials. And so David is here ready to fight Goliath, and he's remembering, he's hanging on to God because God has actually got him through the other trials. For each one of us today, when we face trials, we need to remember, what has God got us through in the past? It might not be the same issue. Goliath is a bit different to a lion. But God has got us through other things. And so I can trust God. I can put my faith in him that he will get me through this next trial. So David did that. And then we go on in verse 38. And it says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armour on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. And he said this, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. You know, what David didn't try to do, he just remembered who he was. He didn't try to be someone else. You know, sometimes we can try, when we come to a trial, we can try and be somebody else. Try and put into action all these other plans. But you know what? God knows you. David shows us that just being yourself, you don't have to put on someone else's armour, you can just put on what you've been given. What David had been given was a sling and some rocks, a little pouch for the rocks. Didn't look like the armour that everyone else had, but it was what he was. He was true to himself is what I'm pulling out of this scripture. He was true to the way that God had created him. David was true. And when we face trials, we don't need to be like someone. Sometimes we can come to a trial and go, if only I was like that person and I'd learnt more and I'd been educated better that way. Or maybe if only I had a personality more like that person, I could get through this. Or maybe if I'd acted a different way, I could be. We all wish we were someone else, don't we? No. Apparently not. We're all very secure in ourselves today. That's good. Well, I've wished I was someone else. God says, don't wish you're someone else. You find yourself. Be yourself. I've created you this way. God stands outside of time. He knew the trials that would come along your life before you got to them. He actually knew it was coming. He says, be yourself. Don't try and be what you're not. But know who you are. Remember we talked at the start that God appointed and anointed you. Know who you are. Who you are is a child of God. Who you are is a prince and princess of the God Most High. Who you are is a co-heir in Christ. Who you are is something pretty amazing. That's who you are. Does that mean that fighting, going through Goliath is going to be easy? And it's going to be... No, it's not. But know who you are. Know the authority that you have to get through that issue. Know your authority in the physical, but also know your authority in the spiritual. Our authority in the spiritual doesn't come from anything that we've done, but it comes through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But we need to know who we are in Christ so that we can get through those issues. Philippians tells that every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth. That means that Jesus has the authority. When we're in Christ, Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. You see, knowing Jesus isn't just about a ticket to the dance in the future. It's about dancing in the now. And so when we have Christ in our life, well, that's who we are. We are made in the image of God. We have Christ in us, and Christ can help us get through what's coming in front of us. Know who we are. I love, he goes on, and David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you, all of you, into our hands. Man, I would love the strength of David here to face the trials that are in my life, to face the issues and go, you know what? You are going down. I get through this. I get through this in the strength. I love that strength that he's got there. And you know the reason he does that? He's mentioned it. It's because he knows who's on his side. He knows who's on his... It's not about David, I'll just get through this because I'm tough and I'm strong and I can do this. No, it's that David gets through the trials because he knows who is walking with him. And who's on his side? It's pretty easy scripture. This is nothing revelational. This is just reminding us of some simple facts of faith. Who's on our side? God. We walk with God. God is on our side. Who's ever seen the Gruffalo? Great. For you parents, you've got little kids, you know the Gruffalo. Gruffalo, big Gruffalo sort of character. And I was watching this, I don't know much about the Gruffalo, but I was watching it on TV the other day, and the mouse is getting through the woods, and the mouse comes across the Gruffalo, and the mouse asks the Gruffalo to walk behind him, and he goes through the bush, and he's going through, he comes up against all his old foes, and he just says to the Gruffalo, just walk, just stand behind me. And as he talks to his old foes, they can see the Gruffalo behind him, and then all of a sudden they give the mouse a whole lot more respect than what they were giving him in the past. It's a bit like that with us with God. We need to remember who is on our side. You see, we walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the person who chose us and appointed us. He walks with us through the trials of life. And so, especially in the spiritual realm, those things that bow down are the things not bowing down to us, they're bowing down to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit walks with us daily. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's something that we just go, it's like, you know, click it and he pops up and hey, out of my way. But we need to remember who walks with us. Who gives us strength? Who gives us courage through the trials and the temptations of daily life? Who gives us? It's the person of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if I've shared this, but I used to play at a golf club, and we used to play Ambrose Golf. Ambrose Golf is where you all play a ball, and then you choose the best ball, and you play. Everyone plays another shot from there. Then you play, choose the best ball, and you play another shot from there. When we played, there was three young guys. I was one of them, and we used to play with the club champion. He was on a scratch handicap. Now, for those who don't know, golf scratch handicap is very, very good. It means that you're pretty much a professional. Now, we were not. The other three of us, we were reasonable, but we were not. But we used to go into those competitions very, very confident. Very confident. Because at my best, I was probably about 15 over par. At his worst, he was probably 2 over par. We used to play from his position all the time. So we would walk out to the first tee for our turn, and we would all stroll a little bit stronger, a little bit higher. We'd puff our chest up a little bit higher and lift our chins a little bit higher. Not because we were great, but because the guy on our team was amazing. And all we had to do was maybe sink the odd putt, and we would walk off with a score of probably around par or maybe even less if we got lucky. And so we walked high, we walked our chin high, we got our chest out, and we thought, you know what, I'm not going to let this defeat me. Because we walk with the club champion. As Christians, we need to know that we walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we can stand up a little bit up. And although the issues of life get us down, and they do, and that's the reality, and they make us feel bad, and they make us feel bad about ourselves, and they can make us feel ground into the earth. That's what trials do to us. They wear us down. And the longer they go, the longer they wear us down. But we need to remember that we walk with the club champion. So that can get us us up a little bit. You know what the other people that we walk with through trials and temptations? We walk with the community of believers that are here. You walk with your network group. That's the place where you're going to get people to walk with you in that trial and that temptation. You know, if I'm walking now, I'm walking with the club champion, I've got the crowd behind me called my network group and my church. Even though it looks terrible this way, I'm buoyed this way. Because what happens is that when I'm starting to feel down about it and I'm starting to feel a bit, is this issue ever going to end? I've got people around me just propping me up, holding my shoulders back, walking with me, walking the fairway. And God is still on my team. David knew that, and so he goes down. He sees Goliath. He takes on the battle. He uses who he is, and he wins the battle. And he wins it by giving his best, teamed with God. And that's how he wins it. I want to encourage you, when, if you read the end of that story, the last thing that David did was he goes on to celebrate. I mean, there's a, you know, he stands, takes the head off, and you can read the rest. But he celebrates and he gives glory to God. He gives honour to God for getting him through it. That's the last thing, guys. When you walk through the trials of life, and you've been able to get through them, we give honour and we give glory to God because it's God who helped us through it. And also points to the direction to each, every person around us that's walked the journey with us. And those other people in our community who are going through trials, because you've got the trial today, but I'll probably have the trial tomorrow. Someone else will have a heart issue in a year. And we speak courage into each other. By the way, we hang on to Jesus and we hang on to God and we move through it. And God expands us and God grows us and God teaches us and makes us more like him through the hard times. It's in the valleys that the trees grow. The tops of the mountains are lovely. You get beautiful lookouts and you can see marvellous things. But it's in the valleys of life that growth occurs. So when we're in tough times, encourage us to hang in there, keep our eyes fixed on God, know who walks with us. But when we get through that and we start to go up to the top of the mountain, let's give praise and let's give honour to God and give courage to those who are the next person that's walking through the valley. Well, valleys are going to come and valleys are going to still be there. God never promises that on this side of eternity, that on this side of death, that there'll be no valleys. He doesn't say it's just going to be a flat land. Let's encourage us as we walk through the journey together. Why don't we pray? It's getting a little warm in here, and we're going to worship Jesus. Heavenly Father God, we want to thank you today that you are a great God. God, I thank you that you are a God of the valleys as much as you're a God of the peaks. In fact, you're the God of the whole mountain range, God, that you don't leave us. Lord, and it's hard sometimes when we walk through valleys. There's trials that go before us. We read James sometimes, God, and it can be, oh, how do I give praise in the middle of that? How can I be thankful? Lord, we can only be thankful with we know that out of all of these trials and these issues that you reign supreme, that you never leave us, and that you have better things in front of us. And so God, we don't diminish the trials today. We don't diminish the pain. We don't diminish the hurt. We don't diminish the frustration. We don't diminish the anger that comes from trials of many kind. But we declare you God over all of that. We declare you God in that space. And God, today, for those of us who are facing a trial right now, for those of us who are facing a trial, be that financially, relationally, illness, health, God, you know what trials lay before each one of us. For those people who are right in the middle of a trial, God, I ask for strength. I ask for a fresh revelation, God, a fresh revelation that you are with them, that you stand in that space with them. A fresh revelation, Lord, that you anoint them, which means you strengthen them, you give them boldness, you give them courage. Holy Spirit, bring that now. For each one of us, Lord, make us aware, give us eyes to see those people on our left and those people on our right that are walking through valleys at the moment, that are in trials at the moment. Help us to be the crowd that gets around and supports them and lifts arms up and prays and walks that journey with them. Lord, we just thank you for the community of believers here that you give us to support each other in that journey. God, for those who are in the trial, Lord, give them strength, give them courage. For each one of us, God, help us to keep our eyes on you, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We thank you for never leaving us, for never forsaking us, for always being our Lord and our Saviour. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.